Pop quiz, which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
WMFO Medford. Soundtrack of the week. I'm going to play some Lost Boys throughout this next segment here. And this is, of course, INXS and Jimmy Barnes with Good Times.
It's WMFO Medford or WMFO 91.5 FM?
It's a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both.
It's WMFO Medford. It's WMFO in Medford. See, normally I would edit that out and I'd repeat it 20 times.
I think it's this one over here.
This is. Oh,
this chair.
As Derek knocks himself out.
This chair has got to go. I can't. I've been fighting with this chair for an hour.
The beasts are in the streets. This is Chris Earl and Derek Gary. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. It's so freeform, we're doing a horror discussion for 15 weeks. Who's ever thought of doing something like this?
Hey, this may go longer.
Anybody?
This may go longer than that, man. I mean, you know, people like horror.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk about what's coming out. 4K, Blu-ray.
Yes.
Every week we're going to catch you up on what is going on. And if you are a horror movie fan, this is usually the time of year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time of year when everybody's dropping their big horror releases. The interesting thing is, this year is a little bit quieter than the last couple.
Yeah.
Because most of the major horror films are already out on 4K. So, the last couple of years, there was the big Halloween box set, and there was the big Friday the 13th box set, and there was this and that and the other. Most of it's out there now. But there are still a few things that are finding their way out, and Warner Bros.
Warner Bros?
I think they're Warner Bros now. I always see it abbreviated.
Actually, I like that. Warner Bros.
Warner Bros.
Yeah.
Has released two new 4Ks this week for films that are celebrating anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the source of this soundtrack.
Really?
Which is Joel Schumacher's The Lost Boys.
There we go. Nice. 1987, right?
1987. It is the 35th anniversary of The Lost Boys.
35th anniversary. Wow.
And they've got a brand new 4K transfer, and Warner Bros. Does a good job with their 4Ks.
Good to hear.
If you get a 4K that's a Warner Bros. Catalog title, it's going to be transferred well. It's going to be mastered well. It's going to be a good deal.
Let me interrupt here just briefly. So if you are getting a 4K, do you need a 4K TV?
Yes.
Can you explain that to
Yes.
people?
So, okay. So I believe this one is a 4K and Blu-ray set. That's pretty much what everybody puts out now.
Yep.
One thing about this film and the other film I'm going to talk about in a minute, which is Poltergeist, is that the last time they were scanned was in 2008 for Blu-ray. And they were notoriously bad scans because that was very early in the game with Blu-ray. And the process evolved considerably over the last, you know, 15 years.
And when they do a scan, they take a print that's from the studio
to scan it? So if you're... This gets interesting because there are different definitions here.
Yep.
In some cases, and usually they will tell you if this is the case... They are scanning from a print. More often than not, if you see the word 4K restoration, what you're getting is a brand new composite of the film where they individually scan in the camera negatives for all the effect shots.
Nice.
All of the live action shots. They go in and they scan every bit of film. They recomposite everything.
Yep.
And they make it look good on 4K.
So it's frame by frame.
Yeah, frame by frame. In some cases... Paramount is kind of notorious for doing this. They recreate the titles digitally.
So you have different titles.
Because the titles were optically printed back in the day, and those are notoriously impossible.
You know what?
I think
I got the 4K Creepshow, and I think the titles were different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
now
probably are.
Yeah.
They probably are because there are a couple of studios that are notorious for doing that.
Yep.
So, The Lost Boys has had a bad scan for all this time. Now, with the 4K, you need a 4K television, and you need a 4K player. to get everything out of that 4K.
Yep.
In this case, it comes packaged with a Blu-ray that should look awesome on whatever system you have at home.
Okay, which is nice.
It's definitely going to look better than the old one.
Which is what they were doing with DVDs. They tossed that in there when you had a Blu-ray player.
Exactly. Yep. Now, for the most part, if you buy a 4K, you're getting a Blu-ray with it.
Yep.
And in this case, they're not really adding anything to it. It's the same extras that Warner's put out before.
Yep.
But that old scan was terrible. And those of you who know The Lost Boys, and if you've never seen The Lost Boys, let me tell you that you should. Because it's just fun.
I love The Lost Boys.
This is a film that launched Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
This is the film that launched Jason Patrick.
Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Gertz is in it. The Coreys are in it.
Yeah, the Frogs. The Frog Brothers, right?
Edward Herrmann's in it.
Edward Herrmann's in it. I was going to say Lithgow, but it's Edward Herrmann.
Yeah. Barnard Hughes is in it.
Dee Wallace.
Dee Wallace is in it as the mom.
Yep.
It's...
We're digging deep from our brains here, people.
This is a
movie. How are we remembering all this, people? Because we love this movie.
We love this movie. I saw this movie so many times. The soundtrack, which we're playing right now, I played to death.
I love it. Yeah, like, fantastic soundtrack.
If you were in a high school or a college circa 1987 to 1989, this soundtrack was on all the time because it's bombastic, but it's fun.
You've got Lou Gramm from Foreigner. You got Roger Daltrey on there. INXS, as we mentioned, Echo and the Bunny Men.
Yeah.
You've also got one of the best rock and roll songs. Very sexy saxophone. I Still Believe. Tim Capello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the movie that launched goth culture.
Yeah.
And if we're going to hold anything against it, that's it.
Now, who's the guy that looks like... it's Jason Patrick. He looks like Michael Hutchence in the movie, actually.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. And it's emo goth before emo goth was a thing. Yeah. Like, the vampires are all very emo goth.
There's a Bill or a Ted in it, too. Alex Winter's in it.
Bill is in it, yes. Yeah. Alex Winter is one of the vampires, yeah. So there's, like, all these people are in it. Mm-hmm. And Joel Schumacher directed this.
Yeah.
And if you watch
it's got nipples. That means it's got nipples.
Well, if you watch it closely, you can see the seeds of Batman's future destruction being sowed.
Sure.
You know, in this movie.
Yep.
But it's huge fun. I will say, buy this without hesitation. I recommend this without question.
This belongs in any Halloween movie collection.
This
in
is
my
a movie.
Opinion.
This is a movie you can throw on a rainy Saturday afternoon if you just want to have a good time.
And it's a movie with style.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of style to it.
Don't have to be a horror fan to appreciate this.
Yeah.
Now, because it's Warner Brothers, they're going to make piles of them, and you're going to be able to get it super cheap around Black Friday.
Yeah.
So if you want to wait, you can wait. You'll probably get it for like 30 or 40% off on Black Friday. But I recommend it without hesitation. This is one that I would definitely... It's one that I'm going to own, and it's one that I think everybody should own.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
The other one... It's not the thing. The other one that's coming out this week is Steven Spielberg's Poltergeist.
Nice.
It's not a Tobe Hooper film.
Tobe Hooper.
It's not Tobe Hooper. It's Steven Spielberg.
It was Tobe or Tobe? I thought his name was Tobe.
No, it's Tobe.
Oh, like Job. No?
Yeah. There's a huge controversy over who directed this film.
Spielberg?
And the cinematographer and the camera operator, who were brothers,
right,
did an interview a couple years ago where they said... Tobe Hooper was there on the set. He set up most of the shots.
He got Spielberg his coffee.
And then Steven Spielberg came in and actually directed the movie.
Yeah.
That it's not. And if you watch Poltergeist and you know, like, Steven Spielberg, early 1980s, this is a movie that feels like it's taking place down the street from E.T.
Yeah.
Because it looks exactly like E.T. and it's the same kind of...
True.
You know, family setup.
Yep.
The big battle or chase or whatever you have at the end of the movie where, you know, what was really going on is revealed.
Yeah.
Looks a lot like Indiana Jones effects.
Yeah.
I think they recycled.
I saw this in the theater. Great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary as hell.
Very scary movie.
Yeah.
Too scary for kids is the problem with it. Like, Steven Spielberg...
I was 11. Yeah, I was pretty scared by this one.
Spielberg wanted to make, like, a family-friendly horror movie.
Yeah.
The problem is it's too scary for kids, and it's not bloody enough for the hardcore horror fans, so it never found an audience.
Oh, you think so? I see. I think it was a big hit.
It was...
It made its money back, like, tenfold.
It made its money back that summer, but then it's one of those films that you just never heard about anymore.
You know, Now that you say that, when people talk about horror films, they don't bring up Poltergeist much. And I think it's such a great movie. I mean, that first one, especially, I mean, the characters are great. You have that whole family there. You got the precocious kids, right? You got Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah.
Pre-coach, right? But and you also have the Magic Munchkin there. She's great in it.
Everybody knows that they're here. Everybody knows that line.
Carol Ann, yep.
You know what the problem is with the movie? It's the psychics. Once the psychics come in, the movie hits a wall. Well, it slows down. And Zelda Rubinstein, who went on to do a lot of great things later in her career,
yeah,
is fingernails on a chalkboard in this film.
Really? You think so? That's the Magic Munchkin, right?
I hate her so much.
Oh, I love her. I
hate her so much. Griffin Dunn, by the way, is her...
That's right.
Is her sidekick in
yes.
all of this.
Yeah, I love Griffin Dunn. Oh, I see. I love that. I thought the scariest moment was when the psychics come in, when he's looking in the mirror and he's eating the chicken.
Yeah. No, when she walks in, I'm like, really? Like, if I'm Craig T. Nelson, I'm kicking her out of the house.
Oh, I love
that.
When she says
here,
this house is this. Clean, I'm like, you bet it is.
Oh, my
you
God.
You bet it's clean.
It's a little bit, I think that might be the stuff that Tobe Hooper directed because there's definitely a little bit of a schizophrenic element to it.
Yeah.
Where it feels at times like a couple of movies that have been mashed together.
Yeah.
I think it's something people should see. Obviously, the film has its fans. It's one of the lost items in the Spielberg catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that Spielberg doesn't think much of it because all of the films that he loves mm-hmm. have Spielberg-approved 4K restorations. And this is coming out as a Warner Bros. Catalog release.
Yeah.
So, but again, Warner Bros. Does a nice job with their transfers. So that's recommended. They've actually thrown a couple of new extras on this.
I gotta play it. I gotta play This House is Clean. You ready?
Yeah.
There she is.
This house is clean.
See, I love
God,
it.
God, stop
I love it.
It.
I knew she was good at what she did.
Stop it.
I would have her over any day to get rid of a pool.
Oh, man.
For me.
Yeah.
I'd love to have like lunch with her and just hang out by the pool. Remember the pool scene? Oh, my God.
So
great, great horror movie.
The theatrical trailer is included on this. Hasn't been released since DVD. So they've upgraded that. And they found an electronic press kit for this thing from 1982. It's a 7-minute making of that's got interviews with Spielberg and the cast. This would have had to have been one of the earliest examples of, you know, studio produced behind the scenes marketing for a film.
Yeah.
So that's worth having, and that's included. That has never been released on disc before. So if you're a fan, hands down, get this one. Looks awesome. Great package. One thing I have to point out is that both movies...
It's got Zelda in it.
Yep. ...have been released with atrocious, and I mean atrocious cover art.
Really?
It's ghastly.
I love the cover art with just Carol Ann in front of the TV, and it says they're here, and it's all in black and white. What'd they do with the DVD release?
They got some illustrator to come in and do like a minimalist interpretation of it.
Oh, yeah. That seems to be the thing lately with a lot of them, huh?
The Lost Boys, the iconic poster with the red background and Jason Patrick and the vampires in black and white.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Oh, I see. It's just them hanging from a bridge, and it says The Lost Boys.
Don't
That's interesting.
Let the awful cover art dissuade you.
I'm looking at the cover art for Poltergeist right now.
Terrible.
And it's not in black and white. What is that? Who is
I don't
that
know what
on
that
the front
is.
Of
I
it?
I think it's Craig T. Nelson, isn't it?
I don't know. And he's in like a ruined
It's terrible.
Bedroom.
Yeah,
it's what's the point of that?
It looks like he's waving flares around and airplane's coming at him.
I think maybe it's because of the remake, right? Makes it look like it's the remake, maybe, in the marketing. And also maybe the fact that, the girl Carol Ann there, what was her name? Heather, I forget off the top of my head.
I'm going to say, I know
it. It was Heather.
Yeah.
But she passed away very, very, Heather O'Rourke.
And
she ended up on Happy Days and did a few other things. She was very young, and then she ended up dying at age 12. And maybe one of the reasons is the family doesn't want her on the cover anymore or something. Who knows? I don't know if they would have any say in that, but who knows?
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah.
It's a very good question.
She had septic shock. She had a problem with her intestine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she died, and she had 2 cardiac arrests at age 12.
Yeah.
Scary stuff.
It's kind of considered a mysterious death, too. So
yeah.
There's the whole curse that allegedly hangs over Poltergeist.
Yeah, because the sister died, too, the older sister, right?
Yeah. Anyway, if you like the movie, again, it's Warner Brothers. I recommend it without hesitation. but it's Warner Brothers.
Doesn't recommend the cover, though.
I don't recommend the cover. You're going to be able to get this for like 40, 50% off around Black Friday.
It says $25.99.
Which is Best Buy. Yeah, that's decent. You'll get it cheaper on Amazon, and it will definitely be on discount around the holidays. Yeah.
Or if you're a friend of Chris Earle, most people just come over to my house and watch it. They don't even toss in me like a fiver or anything.
Now, there's one other film that I got to bring up, and that is the Paramount standalone 4K release of Friday the 13th.
All righty.
Timed for Halloween. You're going to walk in, you're going to be like, oh, Friday the 13th on 4K. Let me pick this up. Do not pick it up.
All right. Why not?
And this is specifically for you 4K owners out there, people who are big on the format, buying all this stuff. Apparently, the film was not encoded correctly on the disc.
Mm-hmm.
So, with 4K, there is a feature it's included called HDR, which is high dynamic resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And what HDR does is it pulls out all of the color and black and white chromoluma information in the picture and makes it a separate channel.
Yeah.
So that you can adjust it and you can make things really pop. High dynamic resolution is the phrase I was looking for. If it's encoded properly, you're going to get something that looks as close to film as you will ever get on digital.
Mm-hmm.
If you do what Paramount did, all of the highlights are blown out so much that they're painful to your eyes, and all of the blacks are so dark that you get black crush, which just consumes everything else in the image.
Ooh, a little black crush.
This is what apparently has happened with these discs, yeah. Is they did not encode the HDR properly, so all of the contrast is completely out of whack.
Yeah.
So if you've ever used Photoshop or if you had an old color television and you remember cranking up the contrast all the way, that's kind of what you're getting here. It is super dark in places. Anything that's a highlight is covered with film grain. I know some people are saying it's not happening. I've seen enough videos of it and pictures of it online to know, as a fan of that movie, that that movie is not supposed to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my advice. Don't buy defective products. Because when you buy defective products, you encourage the studios to put out more defective products. And Paramount really should not be getting a pass on this. If a boutique label was doing this, they would have a replacement program in place. They would have heard the complaints from the customers, and they would have come back around by now and said, we're going to ship you replacement discs. It may take us 4 months to get them to you, but you'll get them. Vinegar Syndrome would do that. Severin would do that. Kino would do that. If you know those brands, you know what I'm talking about. Paramount has thrown this thing out there. It's a budget disc. It's like a $20 4K.
Yeah.
Major studio release. I'd give them $2.99 for it on Black Friday.
$2.99.
And that's probably where it's heading. It's like a $4.99 4K disc on Black Friday.
Yeah, I'm seeing it going for around $19 on Amazon.
Yeah, right, that's what you pay for it now. They discount everything for Black Friday weekend, as we know.
Interestingly, the Friday the 13th 40th anniversary Blu-ray is $9.
Yeah.
Of course, because the 4K just came out.
Yep. If you want to get Friday the 13th, go get the Shout Factory box set.
Yep.
There will be another release of this on 4K at some point in the future, because it's Friday the 13th. Everybody wants to put it out there because it makes money every time you release it. So wait for somebody to actually put out a functioning disc.
Harry.
Or sit there and try and watch it.
Yep.
With everything so dark that you can't see anything, and then try and convince yourself that that's the filmmaker's intent.
Yeah.
It is not.
Yeah. Harry Manfredini.
Harry Manfredini.
Did the soundtrack, and
yep.
I found a full vinyl rip of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I got going on in the background while we're talking
Good
about
score.
Friday the 13th. Excellent score. And they've got it on like this orange and red vinyl.
Nice.
It's like a blend of orange and red. Look at how
Should
beautiful
that is. Should have a hockey mask
is.
In the middle of it. Ooh, this that's
is,
pretty.
I kind of like how vinyls come back, but it's more for the art part of it, I think. People
yeah.
are just buying it so they can say, okay, I have an orange record with like blood spurts in it.
Yep.
But that is pretty cool. I'd pay $50
that's
for that.
That's a nice looking, that's nice. So the one other thing I got to point out, and then we'll move on.
Yes. So this is the 4K Blu-ray.
So, Lost Boys, go get it.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen The Lost Boys,
you're in for a treat.
I will very rarely tell you to buy a 4K or a Blu-ray of a movie that you haven't seen, Lost Boys is one of those movies. If you've never seen it, just go buy the Blu-ray.
I'd say it's an essential vampire movie.
Yeah.
And it also, when it came out, it was new for vampires, what they do in
yeah.
Lost Boys.
Yeah, it was.
Which is make it very stylish, but it's also erotic, like the vampire usually is, you know?
It was definitely one of the early films to sort of reboot the whole vampire myth and get and bring and make vampires sort of approachable for the kids again.
Yeah.
You know, like vampires were kind of the stodgy old guys that were like trying to romance, you know, lonely widows. The Lost Boys comes along and it is absolutely not that.
Yeah.
Poltergeist, I recommend it, but it's not everybody's cup of tea. That's a film that if you've never seen it, I'd suggest watching it before you get the 4K. It's hard for me to pick. The thing about the Poltergeist is like I can see it once every 10 years and I'm fine.
Oh, I love it. I like, yeah. I mean, I love it. I love Poltergeist. It's probably one of my favorite ghost stories.
The Lost Boys is one of those movies you want to have on the shelf.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have like some Saturday or Sunday where you're sitting around like, I got nothing to do. And it's like, oh, let's watch The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
And you pull that out, you're like, boom, that's a good time.
For spooky and horror for me, I would put Poltergeist above The Lost Boys. For me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a better horror movie, mm-hmm. but I think The Lost Boys is more entertaining. You know, it's something that you can watch a bunch of times and have a good time with, which is usually what I look for if I'm going to invest in a 4K.
Yeah.
Skip the Friday the 13th 4K. Sorry to say it, but it is encoded properly.
Yeah.
And this Friday night, you're going to want to get yourself over to vinegarsyndrome.com.
Ooh, Vinegar Syndrome.
Vinegarsyndrome.com.
Turn up the Friday the 13th soundtrack for this.
They are having a Black Friday preview.
Spooky.
And those of you who are familiar with Vinegar Syndrome know what that means. For those who don't know,
Vinegar Syndrome, is this a shop?
Vinegar Syndrome is.
Is it a person?
It was a. They started
is it
out.
The new COVID?
They started out as a video store.
Really?
And they have a location down in Connecticut.
Yeah.
They are a boutique label.
Yep.
That does an interesting mix of films.
Hmm.
They do their own scans. They put together their own extras, and they put out incredible versions of cult films. So if you're into horror, if you're into golden age porno, although that's not what's going to be on sale on Friday.
Yeah. The Real Porno Show with Derek Gary and Chris Earl.
If you're
coming soon.
If you're into cult films, if you're into stuff that's a little off the beaten path,
yep.
This is a company that you want to follow.
Okay.
Their Black Friday sale is a big, big deal.
What's his name? The Vinegar Man?
Vinegar Syndrome.
The Vinegar Syndrome.
Vinegarsyndrome.com.
Uh-huh.
Their Black Friday sale is a big deal because every year they have a couple of films that hardcore horror fans have been aching to get their hands on.
Yeah.
Available.
They should do a horror movie about vinegar. Because it gets everything out.
Well, you know what Vinegar Syndrome is?
No.
Okay, so it's a film term.
Yep.
And...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
When film disintegrates,
yes, yeah.
All that's left is the chemicals.
Yes.
And the chemicals have a smell like vinegar.
Yeah. So the silver acetate movies of the early cinema, a lot of them are lost.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you open up the can and you smell vinegar, then you know that the film's gone.
Yeah.
And these guys are really very much about preservation.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason they tackle this off the beaten path stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their releases are among my very favorites of the past couple of years. They did Andy Warhol's Frankenstein.
Oh, that's a cool movie.
And
yeah, different.
The great thing about it is they included a 3D version of the film. And they included an anaglyphic 3D version of the film with the 3D glasses.
Nice.
So that you didn't have to have a 3D Blu-ray player to watch it.
Nice.
That's the kind of extra stuff that they do. That's the kind of extra effort they put in on things. So vinegarsyndrome.com, Friday night, 12:01, they're going to drop their Black Friday preview. I will definitely be logging in to see what they have. They're promising some big stuff. And they're promising some big slasher movies are coming our way. So
nice,
looking forward to that.
Very good.
It's
go ahead.
And it's a brand you should know if you're into horror at all. And they do. They've been making Blu-rays and 4Ks for many, many years now. Go check out vinegarsyndrome.com. Be sure to do that before Friday at midnight because whenever one of these special sales goes on, they shut down their regular website.
Nice.
So if you want to see the full catalog, I'd suggest logging in there today or tomorrow. See what they've got. If you're a horror fan, you're probably going to be pretty impressed.
Yeah, you'll by some of what's in there. And be like a kid in the candy shop.
Watch your money disappear as the only, you know.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's take a little break and we will be back. And I think we're going to play This or That, which is the new horror, the real horror game that Derek and I will play here each week. We're going to give you a little bit more of the Lost Boys original soundtrack. Thanks for listening to Real Horror Show with Derek Gary and Chris Earle here with you until 7 p.m. on WMFO in Medford.
All the hope we can get. No, I still believe. I know what you want. I know what you need. Better than you do. I know why you came. I promise you. I know where you go. I know what you do. Better than you do. When nothing remains, I come to you. Sometimes she shines and I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
If I am feeling particularly ambitious, I make a real curry plus all the side dishes. Many curries are made with meats on the bone, but for my guests, I only want to serve small boys. I like to look around for some really exotic and very hot ones. That's the way my wife likes them. I then skin the boys and take all of the meat from the bone. The easy way is to stab them one at a time with a fork and heat them over a gas flame on the stove until the skin bursts. It then peels right off. What fun. To make the curry itself is child's play. A very simple, but a very elegant dish. Nothing makes a more exotic party. I generally lower all the lights and burn a little child to help create a mood. And then I have sitar records and put them on the stereo, and that helps tremendously. Candles winking everywhere are very romantic. The visual display of the curry, all the condiments, and the boys is really spectacular. This meal depends on you to create a mood, so be daring. Use a different tablecloth or a brilliant remnant of material. Pull out all the brass and copper you can find. Wear dangling earrings and a draped sari if you have it, and every bracelet you can find. Your guests will talk about this dinner party for weeks.
Well, well, well. There we go. It's Vincent Price. How to cook a small boy. Who thought you'd hear that ever again?
You know, it was a different time. Yeah. All I'm going to say, it was a different time.
But on The Real Horror Show, we can do this.
That's right.
We're going to do it.
That's right.
Every week, Vincent Price. Something new from Vincent every week. That's what I'm going to do. That's my plan.
I like Vincent Price.
Me too. I love him. Great horror guy.
I am not, generally speaking, a fan of the Hammer House of Horror movies.
No.
I like the Universal Monsters. I like, you know, all the slashers. I'm a big, big fan of the Italian stuff. But the Hammer stuff just never quite worked for me.
It's a little...
I know plenty of people love it, and I'm not speaking ill of it. It just doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, I like the Hammer stuff, but what I liked about them is they churned them out, and they had a lot of the same actors in there, and they had some good actors in there.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that I loved about the Hammer films.
Plus boobs. Always boobs.
Yeah. And horror movies, they've always had boobs. Oof. Even Frankenstein 910, if you ever see that, 1910, Frankenstein has boobs.
So I've been chatting with a listener, Brian Young, and yep. Asked him if there's any movies we should talk about. We could do a whole show on this, and it's related films or films inspired by it.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Craven's Last House on the Left.
Oh, good movie.
That's a
frightening movie.
Yeah,
that's a real horror movie.
That's one we should plan on talking about in a couple of weeks. There's a couple of other movies I would want to bring into that discussion.
Yeah.
Because that is a very, very effective horror movie.
Yeah.
That
gets under your skin.
Really?
Because it can happen to you. It can happen to anybody.
As I said earlier, you know, horror and comedy tend to be very close, and they're definitely like nearly identical twins.
There's a release for both of them. One of them is surviving, the other one is laughter.
Last House on the Left is one of those films that almost winds up on the wrong side. It almost winds up being, and for a good part of its runtime, it is a pretty disturbing film.
Yeah, when you said walk out of a theater, that one possibly. Very many people probably walked out of that movie.
Yeah. Wes Craven just barely keeps that thing viewable. And it's like, it is one of the most intense horror movies ever made.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to talk about that in the future, because there's a couple of other films that are unofficial sequels to it.
Yeah.
And films that were inspired by it that all sort of deserve to be thrown into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wanted to play a little game. It's called This or That. And what I want to do is every week, and we'll do it with each other this week, but maybe we can get some people in the future as guests or to call in. And I'm going to give you a scenario. And you tell me which scenario you want and how you would get out of it or what would happen.
All right.
So this week's This or That for you, Derek, is you are in a swimming pool and there's a shark in the swimming pool. You can't say it's a nurse shark. It's a regular shark.
Okay.
Or you are in a mall and you have four fast zombies and one of your friends with you. Which scenario would you like to pick? You're alone in the pool.
I'm going with the zombies.
You're going to go with the zombies?
Yeah.
All right.
Because I just have to run faster than my friend.
Give us a survival scenario with the zombies. What happens?
Well, I mean, the zombies are going to find you no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're going up against zombies, you definitely want somebody else with you.
Yeah.
And you want somebody who ideally is slower than you.
Like me.
And yeah.
Like I'm at Auntie Anne's Pretzels eating pretzels and Derek's getting attacked by the zombies.
Yeah. And I'm going to come running over and I'm going to be like, hey, zombies, you know, come run with me. And then I'm just pulling out ahead of you and, you know, I'll probably grab the pretzel as you're dragged to the floor and devoured
by
the zombies.
It's not the first time, yeah. I get devoured by the zombies. At least I'll be well fed in that mall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me one.
Zombies in the mall.
Give me one.
Okay.
This or that.
Hey, this or that. Well, we'll go with one of the classics here, which is summer camp.
Summer camp.
In the middle of the woods.
Yep.
Just before the start of the season, so you and only a few counselors are there.
Okay.
Getting set up. You know, there aren't any kids around or anything like that.
All right.
And then the other one is going to be broken down on the side of the road in the middle of the night.
All right. I'm going to go broken down on the side of the road in the middle of the night.
And it's just you. You were by yourself.
Just me. All right. Is it winter? It summer?
It's autumn.
It's autumn.
Yeah. Elements aren't going to kill you.
All right.
So you don't have to worry about elements. But there's probably bears.
Uh-oh. All right.
And you definitely don't feel like walking much longer. So you get picked up by somebody.
Oh.
Who clearly has evil intent.
All right.
Somebody who's been waiting for this moment their entire life.
Really? To pick me up on the side of the road?
Yeah. And is not necessarily physically more intimidating than you are.
Yeah.
But definitely psychologically seems to want it really, really badly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm doomed. I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably freak out. I'd probably just scream as loudly as I could and run like a girl through the woods. Remember those movies when you can scream like really loud?
Yeah.
The Scream Queens? I'd be like a Scream Queen, I think.
But see, the problem when you scream is you're just telling the killer where you are.
Yeah.
You need to run quietly, as quietly as possible.
I don't do anything quietly anymore. Yeah. I go two speeds, slow and stop.
Yeah, either one of us is running 10 feet and then keeling over and gasping for breath.
I got how I'm going to survive. I got it. I'm 18-year-old Chris, and I ran cross-country.
There you go.
And I was 100 pounds lighter.
Nice.
Yeah, I would just book it. I could go right through, you know, fly through those woods like a like a twig on the shoulders of a mighty stream.
I think at a certain point, you got to find like a big, you know, like club-like stick and double back and hide behind a tree and just like...
50-year-old Chris, I'd get out like the oil dipstick and try to, you know, use that as a saber.
Yeah.
And try to poke the guy in the eye or
something.
There
you go.
What if he's just looking for directions, though?
Well, if he's just looking for directions,
then I'm the killer.
He's looking for more than directions.
Yeah, what if I became the killer?
He's been waiting to kill somebody his entire life. That's like, this is his moment.
That's an interesting twist. All of a sudden, I decide, you know what? I'm going to one-up you here, weirdo.
You think you've been waiting?
You're going to be my first kill, or maybe my 100th.
There you go.
Never know.
Never know.
Those are some good this or that's. Those would be good movies, I think. Yeah, so we'll do a this or that every week. Yeah, and we'll see if we can get some guests in here, we'll get some callers, and we'll play a little this and that.
Absolutely. So we still got a few minutes. We can talk about Universal Monsters.
Yeah, why don't we talk about these Universal Monsters? Because, like I said, that creature double feature and Scooby-Doo, you know, you said Casper, you know, there's all kinds of cartoons for kids that are fun and goofy, and that's kind of your introduction to monsters. Like I said, Harry on Sesame Street was probably one of the first monsters that I remember. You know, this big furry blue guy. A lot of people don't remember Harry that much, but he was the original monster on Sesame Street.
I've been watching all of those with my son on HBO Max.
Yeah,
so I remember him. There was a vampire on Sesame Street, the Count.
Yeah, I love the Count. What's interesting is the Count wasn't in that Lego set that came out with 1, 2, 3 Sesame Street. They added Elmo, and I'm like, Elmo wasn't in the original set.
Elmo is the real monster of Sesame Street.
Plus Elmo is the same size as Bert and Ernie. I'm like, Elmo isn't like 4 feet tall.
I hate Elmo so much. Yeah. Ruined everything. You ruined it.
I am not a fan of Elmo. However, I am a fan of that Lady Zelda from Poltergeist, and they kind of have the same voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. This house is clean. Can you do that? This house is clean.
Yeah, no.
How does she say it? She says it super high. This house is clean.
I just remember sitting there in the theater being like, this is a great horror movie. Then all of a sudden she walks in. I'm like, what is...
She kind of waddles. But
what is this?
Yeah.
Why is she here? What are you... And years later...
Yeah.
Tim Burton completely riffed on that character in Beetlejuice.
Who? As who?
As one of the guests that come over for dinner, were all like,
Catherine O'Hara and it was a Jeffrey, the guy that was the principal and Ferris Bueller. Yeah,
who come over because they want to have dinner and meet the ghosts.
Right,
and, they're all,
this little goth couple.
Yeah.
Right.
But clearly it's a riff on Zelda Rubinstein in Poltergeist. Ruined the movie for me.
I don't know. See, I love it. One thing I got to mention, too. You mentioned Poltergeist, so just as an aside, Poltergeist 2. Reverend Cain, come on, one of the best villains of any horror movie.
I will give you, that is the one redeeming feature of that movie for me, actually.
He's great.
He is. That is a terrifying character.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got the element of religion, and then you have, the actual story of it isn't really that great. It's not as good as Poltergeist is, but his character is just completely creepy.
Yeah, and that was a time that the whole satanic panic thing was going on in the United States.
The satanic panic.
And, another film that did sort of a riff on that was Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
You know, where you had these kids who were, you know, allegedly God-fearing, but were actually worshiping some kind of demon.
Sure.
You know, and this idea that, you know, religion was actually this dark, terrifying thing. That was the most controversial stuff that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Christians got all bent out of shape. That people were like, look, we're just here to worship God, and you're making us out to be monsters.
Yeah.
You could have boobs and dead bodies flying around all you wanted. As soon as you said something about the Christians, it was like, how dare you?
Yeah. Let's talk about Universal Monsters. Now, which one was your favorite? Mine was always... Frankenstein as a kid, Dracula as a teenager and adult, I think.
I was a huge fan of the 1970s Invisible Man series, which I think starred David Niven as the Invisible Man.
You're right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And so I always loved the earlier version of that.
Yeah. My favorite Universal Monster movie now as an adult is The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny.
Yeah.
It is really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the special effects in that film are so unlike everything else that was being done at the time.
Yeah. I believe it was like the 30s when that one was out. It was like the early 40s or late 30s was The Invisible Man.
Because you watch The Wolfman. fan or you watch Frankenstein or you watch Dracula, and they're all good,
yeah.
but it's very clear that it's on a set and that it's a man in, you know, makeup. You know, great Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney, brilliant actors in those roles, but it's very obviously makeup. The Invisible Man, there's like nobody there.
Yeah.
Like he unwraps the bandage and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And you're
it's
like,
pretty cool to watch even now. It's
what
like
is that?
And also the footprints in the snow.
Yeah.
Plus he's slowly going mad.
Yeah.
That's the other great part of the Invisible Man is he's slowly going mad. It's just great.
So that was always one of my favorites. I love Creature from the Black Lagoon too.
Very good, yeah.
Because it's very American.
Invisible Man was 1933, just so you know.
It's an American drive-in horror film.
Yep.
And it's steeped in American culture and the things that we're afraid of.
Yeah.
Whereas your mummy and your werewolf and your vampire, they're all sort of European mythic figures.
Yeah.
Or Middle Eastern mythic figures that are part of human culture, but they're not uniquely us. There's a modernism about Creature from the Black Lagoon that makes it a little more interesting, a little more effective.
Yeah, and it's a later one. It's 1954, so by then you have the monsters that are created with radioactivity,
yeah.
right? But the Creature from the Black Lagoon is just an old creature from, like, primordial times,
yeah.
right? Do you remember when they were playing it on Channel 56 or 38 and they had a big thing to go get 3D glasses?
Oh, yeah.
From like 7-Eleven
yep.
or like store, it was store 24,
yeah.
I think. And I'm like, I don't know where store 24 is. And I was trying to get my grandparents to go to every like convenience store to look for these glasses. And then I finally get it. And I remember the beginning of the movie, they have a yo-yo.
Yeah.
And the yo-yo goes right in your face. And then the rest of the movie for Creature in the Black Lagoon, I'm like, I can't tell the difference
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, that was pretty much
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
but
did.
I like the yo-yo.
Yeah. That's, that was one of the great drive-in 3D horror movies
yeah.
of that era, along with the Mighty Joe Young sequel that they did as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel about Frankenstein? The best one, Bride of Frankenstein, you think? Or do you like the original?
Bride
or
of
Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein?
I'm definitely taking Bride over the original.
Yeah, Bride's great.
Although the original has, of course, that brilliant scene where Frankenstein first awakens and you know,
yeah.
he's screaming, "It's alive!" You know?
Yeah.
Classic motion picture moment. But I always had sort of a weird relationship with Frankenstein because at the time that that book was written, it was very much like a modernist cautionary tale about playing God.
Yeah, modern Prometheus, 1818 novel, Mary Shelley.
And yeah. when you come to it 100 years later, none of those ideas were new anymore.
Yeah.
And none of the horror of that was really, you know, we were already like genetically engineering organisms by the time you and I were born,
yeah.
you know. So it's sort of like, you know, that's not going to work. You can't do that. I think there are ways to make that story scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been done in scary and interesting ways. Certainly, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein is an interesting take on it.
Yeah, I still don't think there's a really great Frankenstein movie. I mean, Kenneth Branagh tried to do that
yeah.
with Robert De Niro. It was okay. I liked the whole thing with the runaway with the prisoner. That was cool. But for the most part, I don't think they've really made a great Frankenstein movie. You can't beat Bride of Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein.
No, you can't. And it's, you know, they're close. The good thing about those movies is those movies are made like 50 years after the book was written.
Yeah.
So they're still kind of contemporary to the book
yeah.
and kind of contemporary to the sensibility. So that really is like the accurate Frankenstein. It's just not, it's not anything that works for me. I'm a
yeah.
Dawn of the Dead guy, you know?
Yeah. James Whale, also, he did Bride of Frankenstein. He did in The Invisible Man, right? Director.
Yep.
Also, they covered him in the Johnny Depp movie, right? What was the one? Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the one with Ian McKellen, Gods and Monsters.
Yes.
When they talk about James Whale. But these other films about from Universal, I have to add that. There's a great box set, and they're redoing that, which is Universal Monster Movies, and it's got all of these. So it's got your Wolfman, it's got your Invisible Man, it's got Creature from the Black Lagoon, it's got Frankenstein, it's got Dracula in there. Bela Lugosi and Dracula, pretty good movie.
House of Dracula, Abbott and Costello meet, all these monsters.
Yeah.
So there is a Blu-ray box set that's got 30 of these films on it. And it'll cost you $100. And if you like these movies, and you don't own it, you should.
Mine came with busts of Frankenstein and Dracula and I believe the Invisible Man. Three little statue busts, and I'm like, oh, these things are cool.
You can still get just the box set, just the Blu-rays for like $102 on Amazon.
Yeah.
Please, if you like these movies, go buy that. Universal's re-releasing them on 4K.
Yeah.
I will say this about 4K. If you have a really, really high-end system and an OLED TV that can produce true blacks, then yes, maybe it's worthwhile to pay $60 to get four of these movies.
Yeah.
On they've put out two volumes so far. So they've put out eight movies.
Yep.
It'll cost you over $100 to get those eight movies, or you can spend $100 and get 30 films on Blu-ray. You don't need 4K for black and white. If you got a really high-end system, you can make the case for it. But for the vast majority of people, don't spend the money on the 4K. Go get the Blu-ray set. It's much, much better. The Spanish version of Dracula is fascinating.
Draculos?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is in Spanish. What is Dracula in Spanish?
Sangue Caliente.
Oh.
I don't know what it's called.
It's a good guess, though, because that's what blood is, right? Sanguine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at the time that they were making Dracula...
It's Dracula.
Dracula. They decided they were also going to make a Spanish language version of it.
Yeah.
So, during the day, they would shoot the American version, and then at night, they'd shoot the Spanish version. Same camera setup, same sets, same costumes, Dracula. Same everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the only time in Hollywood history Dracula. That it was ever done.
Nice.
Dracula.
And that version of the film is available as a bonus feature. It's in the box set that you have,
yep.
And it's in the first volume of the 4K set.
Dracula, I heard Dracula is the character on film that has been seen the most.
Yes.
Is that true?
It is. There have been more versions of Dracula than anybody else.
And it's all because they can rip off Bram Stoker and his novel, right?
Yeah, it's all public domain now. It's all public domain.
Which is one of the reasons why Universal did these. They were all pre-code, so they can get away with a lot more. Plus, they were cheap to make.
Yeah.
And still now, a horror movie is pretty much cheap to make and produces the highest returns, which is why we still see so many horror
movies. They can, yeah. That's, you know, like everything else, horror movies are very front-loaded.
Yeah.
So when they open in the theater, like everybody goes and sees it opening night, which is why you want to go see it opening night, unless you're afraid of getting the thing.
Sure.
So, you know, week two, week three, you know if they're going to have any legs or not.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they don't. But for the most part, I mean, this is the whole Blumhouse Productions model.
Sure, yeah.
They spend $4 million on a film.
Yep.
It makes $8 million at the box office.
Yep.
Okay, now I got $4 million in profit. I'm going to go spend $4 million of that $8 million to make another film,
yep.
Make another $8 million. That's what they've been doing for years.
Yep.
And now, recently, they've started to dip their toes into making more expensive films.
Yep.
But for all of the little low-budget production houses out there, they're all making horror because it's cheap. All you got to do is throw some blood and boobs on the screen,
right.
And the audience is going to come running.
Very true. All right. This has actually been... That's a fast 2 hours, Derek. Real Horror Show with Derek Gary and Chris Searle.
Nice.
Thanks for listening. Mellow Max is here. He's going to be in here next. I'm going to leave you with the Monster Mash. And let's talk more about Universal next week. We'll start up talking about Universal, and we'll get some more horror stories going.
All right.
All right, see you next week. For my monster from his lab began WMFO Medford. And suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mash. He did the monster mash. The monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. He did the mash. It caught on in a flash. He did the mash. He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom. Vampire's feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode. They did the mash. They did the monster mash. The monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. They did the mash. It caught on in a flash. They did the mash. They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests and his son. Wow. The
scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.